Question. How much are you worth? It's not easy to answer that question. In fact, I'm rather sure if we were to go out on the street and start taking a survey asking people, how much are you worth, we might be surprised at the variety of answers that we would get. And in fact, there are a variety of answers that are all appropriate depending on from what angle we're looking or how we're approaching the question. How much are you worth? When Don Harrison goes into his anatomy class at school to teach about the anatomy of the body, he sometimes talks about the fact that from a chemical standpoint, the human body is not worth very much. If you were to analyze all of the different elements and chemicals that compose and make up the body or comprise and make up the human body, you would not have very much financially involved. And yet, is that what we're talking about when we talk about how much a person is worth? How much are you worth in your own estimation? How do you look at it? What kind of self-esteem or lack of self-esteem do you have? You meet some people who have such a low feeling of self-esteem that they would more or less put themselves so low that they'd have to chin to get up to the gutter. And there are others who have such a high self-esteem or feeling of self-esteem to where they're struck on self. Sometimes I've made the statement that I'd like to buy that person for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth. I think in some instances there might be a good profit involved. But really, none of those ideas is what we're talking about this morning. What is the worth of your soul? I want you to try to imagine, if you can, and it's somewhat difficult, that you had all the earthly possessions that exist in one place, in one pile today. All the money that exists in all the world. Not only all the money, but all the earthly possessions, all the automobiles and the diamonds and the gold and the silver, all the houses and the boats and everything else that you could think about. You had all of that in one pile. Jesus says that you, from a spiritual standpoint, are worth more than all of that. After mentioning that a person needs to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus in Matthew 16:24, he then said, if a person tries to save his own life, he'll lose it, but if he'll lose it for my sake in the Gospels, he'll save it. And he asked some questions that are somewhat rhetorical questions, questions that ought to be thought-provoking. He said, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? That's what we were just describing. If he were to gain all of this and bring it all together and had all of it, and then loses his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is worth more than all the money in the world. I don't know about you, but I have a little bit of difficulty sometimes understanding and trying to explain some of these figures that are used to talk about the national debt and the figures that are being used regularly to talk about how much it costs us to keep the hundreds of thousands of soldiers that are involved in the Mideast and in other places. I believe they're talking now about into the billions of dollars each day. $1 billion, that's hard for me to understand. I sat down last night and figured up if my wife were to spend $1,000 an hour, and she never has gotten that far along yet, it'd take her 114 years to spend $1 billion. A little over 114 years to spend $1 billion. That is, if you didn't invest it and have anything else come in. You just had the billion and you spent $1,000 an hour. It'd take over 114 years just to spend $1 billion. And that's just a drop in the bucket when you think about all that's involved in the worldly goods that exist today. And yet Jesus says, you are more important than all that money. He teaches us in many ways that your soul is more important than all that's involved in pleasure throughout the entire world today. I sat last night in Nashville and watched the entire Auburn-Tennessee football game. I would have changed it just a bit if I could have. But as I was sitting there watching that, sitting by myself, watching the entire game, I began to think about all the games that were just played yesterday. All the efforts that went into the football games that were played yesterday, basically for pleasure. And I enjoy watching a football game, or most any kind of sports for that matter. Do you think about all the stadiums yesterday? Some of them, almost 100,000 people gathered together to watch one game that's over in just two or three hours. Think about all the different games that were played yesterday throughout the United States and all the money that was spent and all the effort and the time and the energy that went into the preparation on the part of the players to be ready to play and on the part of all the fans to get there for that game. And you multiply all that pleasure and the seeking of pleasure, and seeking pleasure of the right kind is not necessarily wrong, but all of that together and multiply it all by whatever number you want to, and Jesus says your soul, just your soul, one soul, is worth more than all of that. That's why Moses made the decision that he did that's referred to in Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. And then when I stop and think about my family and realize that my soul's more important than all my family and your soul's more important than all my family, it begins to cause us to be a little bit more serious-minded. I have a wife that stood by me almost 31 years. Three daughters and a son, a grandson. Father and a mother that sacrificed in many ways to help me to accomplish what they wanted me to accomplish in life. And I tell you, when I think about my wife and three daughters and son and grandson and dad and mother, not to mention all the others that would be in the flat family, and it's a big one. But when I think about just my immediate family, I don't know how to put a price tag on them. In fact, it's not possible. I don't know how to describe to you what I think my family is worth. And yet Jesus says, your soul, just one soul, is worth more than my family and yours. He said, unless we are willing to love father and mother less and love him more, we're not worthy of him. If one loves son or daughter more than Jesus, he's not worthy of him. Matthew 10 points out, and Luke's account even indicates that love that we have for our families, as great as it seems, is so little compared to the love that we're to have for Jesus that it can be characterized by the word hate. And yet your soul is more important than all our families. Your soul is more important than your body. Mark 9 says that if I were to lose a hand and a foot and an eye, but could still have the right relationship with God, that I'm better off than to have every part of the body in perfect unison and perfect health and not be right spiritually. And in Matthew 10 and verse 28, Jesus says that even life itself, as we think about life day by day, is not important when compared to eternal life. He says, if you were to lose your life in that somebody killed you, you're not to even be afraid, but you're to think in terms of the one who has the power to destroy both soul and body in hell. Last week, there was a murder which took place in the parking lot of 20th Century Christian in Nashville. Within just a few feet of literally hundreds of Bibles and books that emphasize God's Word. Some of the ladies that worked for 20th Century were still there at the time. There were two neighborhood men who evidently were in an argument with each other, and one running from the other was shot by the other and he died. And some of the ladies were thinking, no doubt, about what would have happened if that bullet had strayed and had come through one of the windows into the building. Within just a few feet of where those ladies were, a man was murdered, shot and killed. And it is possible that that could happen. It does happen sometimes that an innocent person is murdered. Some of the events that have happened in the last few days in other states where hostages were taken, one particular, there seems to have been one young person, an innocent bystander who was taken as a hostage, who was killed, murdered. How terrible. And yet compared to the soul, that's really not very meaningful at all. What are you worth? From a spiritual standpoint, you're worth more than all the money, all that has to do with pleasure, all the families, all of the bodies, and all of life itself as far as this life is concerned. You, just you and your one soul is worth more than all of that. How do we place a value on the worth of one soul, one spirit created in the image of God? Let's come at this from another angle for a moment. When you stop and consider the eternal nature of the soul, you begin to realize how important it is, and it begins to help us to understand a little bit better some of the things that we've just discussed. The soul is going to live for an eternity. Genesis 2:7 makes the statement that God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He'd made the body out of the dust. Perhaps in that particular verse, the word soul has to do more with life or the breath of life than anything else. But in the setting, taking into consideration that it says that God made man in his image, then it begins to take on more meaning. And in Ecclesiastes 12, where reference is made to the dust, going back to the dust from whence it came, the word spirit is used instead of the word soul, and he says the spirit shall return back to God who gave it. There are times that the word soul and the word spirit are used interchangeably. There are times that there may be a distinction between them, with the word soul being used just simply to refer to the entirety of a person or to the life nature itself. But what is being talked about here, that God made man above all other parts of his creation, made him in his image, and gave him something that dwells within his body, that when that earthly tabernacle is dissolved, 2 Corinthians 5, there is a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Notice, eternal in the heavens. An eternal dwelling place for an eternal soul, a soul that has an eternal nature. We've often quoted that passage of Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die, but did you notice after that? Look at that little word, after. There's something after death. There is that appointment of death, but after that, particularly there he says the judgment is coming. There is something after this life. We're dealing with something that has an eternal nature that shall live on and on and on. At the end of the judgment scene described in Matthew 25, he says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. There are some other words that give me difficulty when I start trying either to understand them for myself or to explain them to you. Everlasting, eternal. I think I have a general idea of what that means, and yet I've never had any experience with that idea other than with the soul itself. Everything you and I know in this life has a beginning, and everything has an end. We deal with beginnings and ends. And yet we're talking about something today as we're emphasizing the value of one soul, something that shall live forever and shall never cease to exist. No wonder one soul is more valuable than all the material things in this world. And if that doesn't convince you of the importance of one soul, then stop and think about how much it cost God and cost Christ to make it possible for your soul or your spirit to spend an eternity with God in heaven. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's that eternal life, but what did it cost the Son of God? In Romans 5, 6, and 7, a description is given of how we might be willing to give our lives for a righteous man or for a good man, although most of us wouldn't even want to do that. And then he says in the next verse, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Notice that us, that's a personal pronoun. And as I consider that, I'm reminded of the statement of Paul in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I, one person, of whom I am chief. I believe Paul thought, and I agree with him, that Jesus would have come to this earth and died on the cross and shed his blood if Paul were the only person who needed salvation. He came into this world and died for sinners of whom I am chief. Paul was thinking about himself and what Christ meant to him and how it made it possible for his soul to be saved eternally. God gave up his only son, sent that son from heaven. That son suffered. That son died on the cross. That son shed his blood. And he shed that blood for your soul. Anything that is worth enough to cost the precious blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, is certainly valuable. When you consider that Jesus bore our sins to the tree, he bore my sins, 1 Peter 2:21 through 25, to be my redeemer when I could not be redeemed by gold and silver and things like that, corruptible things, but only by the blood of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. When you consider that, you begin to realize how important your soul is and how important my soul is. And then consider one other thing. Your soul is important enough that the angels in heaven are concerned about its welfare. Whatever else may be taught and included in Luke 15, at least three times, once in each of the three stories, the idea is presented that angels in heaven rejoice over one soul that is brought back home. One sheep went astray. When that one sheep came back, there was rejoicing. One coin was lost. And when that coin was found, there was rejoicing. One boy went astray. And when that one boy came back home, his father could call others in to rejoice. And the indication is that there was rejoicing in heaven. You might say that the angels stopped what they were doing to rejoice when one sheep, one coin, one boy was found. Now back to the original question. What are you worth? If you're talking about the chemical makeup of the body, maybe not very much. If you're talking about what you're worth as one person in the entire world, it may be that it's like putting your finger in that bucket of water and pulling it back out and realizing that you haven't made a dent in it. If you look at it from that angle, maybe the answer would be not very much, but that's not the angle that matters. What are you worth in the sight of God? What are you worth as far as your soul is concerned? More than all the money, more than everything that could be put together of a worldly nature, more than life itself, enough to cause Christ to come and die on the cross for you, worth enough that even the angels in heaven rejoice when you are made right with God. That's how much you are worth. Is it any wonder that we take the time to remind us of the invitation of Christ? Is it any wonder that we stop and consider the importance of a soul and try to persuade people to come to Christ or to come back to Christ, as the case may be? Why do we have an invitation song in a service like this? Why do we, as we say, extend the invitation? I think in reality it's the Lord extending it, and we're simply reminding each other of it. Why do we do that? Why do we emphasize harvest time? Why do we emphasize mission work? Why do we emphasize going out into the community to bring people in? Why do we plead with you to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins if you've not? Why do we plead with you to come back when you've gone astray? It all boils down to this one little bottom line, that your soul is worth more than all the world. And my friend, if you're not a faithful Christian this morning, you need to think about that. And surely, surely, a realization of the value of your soul will cause you to want to be sure that you have the right spiritual relationship with God. And if you don't, come to Him right now as together we stand and sing.
While we pray and while we plead, while you see your soul's deep need, while you're